I love that song. I've loved all the songs tonight. It's an abbreviated program. As I said earlier, we had about five or six other instrumentals, and we had two other men's quartets that we're going to sing tonight, different quartets. But it is what it is, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. If you listen closer to that last song they just sang, they talked about the fact that God looked down from his throne and so easily could have cast sinful man aside. He created us for his glory, for his praise, for his worship. And man turned away from him and chose his own way. What caused him not to cast us aside and just leave us lost in our sin? And you know what that means? Lost in sin means damned to hell, because the wages of sin is death. So you shouldn't talk about hell at Christmas time. No better time to talk about hell than Christmas time. That's why Christ came. Why did he come? Why did he not cast us aside? I can't think of any better Christmas verse than John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's why he didn't cast us aside. He loved us so much. He could have created a whole new race of people and just said, you know what, all you descendants of Adam, which is you and me, just go your way. You chose to go do your own thing and disobey me and live your own life, so just go on and end up separated from me forever. But his great love for each one of us moved him to send his Son, who came a Savior. And that's exactly what the angel told Mary. Said, you're going to have a son. His name's going to be Jesus, for he shall save the people from their sin. That's why he came. He came to save us from our sin. One of the groups sang tonight, I believe the girls' group sang about the fact that, you know, the angels sang beautifully on the night of his birth, but how much more beautiful will the song be when he comes the second time? And friend, you've got to understand that tonight, that he came as the Savior the first time. I don't know how many hundreds of Bible prophecies in the Old Testament were fulfilled at the birth of Jesus Christ. Hundreds of them. In great detail. And there are hundreds more prophecies in our Bible about his second coming than there are about his first coming. I like what Peter wrote. Peter nailed it on the head. Of course, the Spirit of God writing through Peter said that there's going to be scoffers in the last days. And those scoffers are going to ask this question: where is the promise of his coming? You've been talking about his coming for a long, long time. His coming back. Yes, we know he came the first time. Yes, we celebrate Christmas. And I would suppose that's why everybody in this room is here tonight, because in some way, fashion, or form, you celebrate Christmas. Maybe you go all out and do the Santa Claus thing and the reindeer and Frosty and Rudolph and the whole nine yards. Maybe you kind of limit it to something about Jesus and the angels and Mary and Joseph. But we all celebrate Christmas. That's his first birth. Are you convinced, as convinced tonight, that he's coming again, as you are that he came the first time? Why would you be convinced that he came the first time and question whether or not he will return, when there are more promises about his return than there are about his first coming? And let me say this tonight. When he came the first time, he came by way of a barn door in a manger, an unassuming little baby laid in the crib. In the crèche, in the hay. When he comes back the second time, he will not come as a little unassuming baby. He'll be riding upon a white horse. His vesture will be dipped in blood, and on the horses will be written King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he'll come as the reigning king. Yes, he will. And friend, the great decision that every one of us needs to come to is to receive Jesus Christ as the Savior before he comes back as the King and the Judge. If you've never come to Jesus Christ by faith and trusted in that babe in the manger, that babe in the manger grew up lived a sinless life, went to a cross and died a substitutionary death. He didn't deserve to die. The wages of sin is death. Why would a sinless one die? He died for us. He died for the sinner. That's me and you. Buried in the grave, 3 days, 3 nights later, he came out. Of his own will and volition and power. Walked out of that grave, proving himself to be the Son of God with power. Ascended to the right hand of his Father where he sits today, waiting for his Father's command to return. And friend, if you don't put your faith and trust in him while you can as your Savior, you will bow the knee someday before him as your judge. Let me encourage you tonight. If you've never been born into God's family, I can't think of a better time than Christmas. A better time. I would not look down the pew tonight and measure myself against somebody else sitting in on some other part of the auditorium or behind me or in front of me and say, well, you know, if they're saved, then surely I'm saved. If they're going to heaven, then no doubt I'm going to heaven. I wouldn't measure myself against anybody else tonight. I would look deep down in my own heart and I'd ask myself this question, what have I done with Jesus? Have I trusted him as my personal Savior? Have I put my faith and trust in him and received him, the gift of salvation in the person of Jesus Christ? And if you haven't done that, through all this music and song tonight, reflecting on his birth, that's why he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And lost person, you can be a born-again child of God before you leave tonight by putting your faith and trust in him, Jesus the Savior. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, please. No one looking. I wonder tonight if there might be somebody here who's never trusted Jesus as their personal Savior. In other words, you've never been born into God's family and you don't have the assurance in your heart that you'll go to heaven when you die. I don't usually do this. This is not the normal practice. But if you're not saved and in your heart there is the slightest desire to trust in Christ as your Savior, then I would encourage you tonight, right where you sit, to call out to God from the deep recesses of your heart in sincerity and say to God, dear God, I know I'm a sinner and I've sinned against you, but I believe that Jesus died for me, and right now I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Please come into my heart. I receive you by faith now as my Lord and Savior. And friend, from the deep recesses of your heart in sincerity, a simple prayer of faith like that will bring the gift of salvation in the person of Jesus Christ to your heart. If you've never received Christ by faith, let me encourage you to make that choice tonight while he's the Savior, before he comes to be the judge. I wonder, before I have our closing prayer tonight, and then we'll have a couple other things to do before we dismiss, I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if there might be somebody here tonight, member or visitor, is it Pastor Angel? I prayed that simple prayer in my heart, and I meant it. It was between me and God. And I trusted Christ as my Savior. Through all the music and the song and the brief message from the Word of God, I know in my heart that I needed to be saved, and I asked the Lord to come into my heart tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, just slip your hand up and acknowledge it tonight. Take it back down. God bless you. Is there another one? You prayed that prayer tonight in your heart and you meant it. Is there another one? Slip your hand up right back down just so I can see it. God bless you. Anyone else? That's wonderful. My dear Father, and with great gratitude, we bow our heads and our hearts tonight. It's been beautiful music and song about the birth of your Son, Jesus, and how grateful we are that he came. How grateful we are that he came to be our Savior. We know, Lord, he's coming back to be our King someday. And at the same time, he'll be a judge for all those who have not trusted in him. Thank you for the free gift of salvation and how it changes our lives, our homes, our marriages, our community even, if we'd let it. Bless the dear folks in this room tonight to have a great Christmas season. Thank you for these who've practiced and made this night possible. Lord Jesus, as the little children sang, we're so glad it's Christmas. Happy birthday, Jesus. We do love you. And we're glad there's a day in the year set aside for us to honor your birth. Thank you for coming. Thank you for loving us. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name, the only name, the name above every name. And amen.